Chapter 5. 1, 2, 3.
From between the gold drapes, we watch the princesses take their seats at the table. While last night they wore an array of fun, sparkly outfits, now they are all wearing prim pink dresses with white collars and white tights. They all wear their hair in identical tight buns on top of their heads. Well, except for the princess with the pixie cut. The only thing they have on that's the same from last night are their scuffed black patent leather shoes. The king enters the room wearing a purple robe with the royal crest of dews. He looks just like he did in the portrait, but older, his blonde hair now streaked with gray. He takes his seat at the head of the table. There's no chair across from him. No queen. I was right. Poor fairy tale moms.
Good morning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
The king bellows from his seat. Good morning, father. The princesses reply in unison. Jonah and I exchange a confused glance. That was weird. Was the king counting to make sure all the princesses are here or something? The princesses are sitting up super straight, super formal. Their napkins are on their laps.
They remind me of the kids in the beginning of The Sound of Music, Jonah whispers to me. Wait, are you sure we're not in The Sound of Music?
Shh, I whisper back. I see what he means, but The Sound of Music is not a fairy tale. In fact, it's based on a real story. I notice there's a clock on the wall, right across from where we're hiding. It's 8:30 in the morning here in Dews. I check my watch. It's 12:30 a.m. at home, which means that 9 hours here is about 1 hour at home, so at least we have lots of time. Two maids in gray uniforms wheel in a breakfast cart and start serving French toast, scrambled eggs, and donuts. Everything smells delicious. I'm hungry. Jonah is practically drooling.
Three!
The king says. Three? Three what? Is he asking for three donuts? That sounds like a good number to me. The third girl on the left side of the table, who's probably about 18 years old, looks up, her brown eyes wide.
Yes, father?
Wait, her name is Three?
Your napkin is not centered on your lap like a princess's napkin should be,
the king says.
Yes, father,
the princess answers, rearranging the napkin.
One,
the king says next. The tallest princess, the oldest, looks at the king.
Yes, father?
Your water goblet is a half inch too far to the right,
he says, eyeing it.
Your dear mother, may she rest in peace, always liked a perfectly set table.
Yes, father,
one says, and moves her goblet. This is weird. When the maids are done serving, they wheel the cart off to the side, with the platters of food uncovered in case anyone wants seconds. I can tell Jonah is wondering if he can dart over and snag some food without anyone seeing him. He better not. Suddenly, I hear a tapping sound. Tap, 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 tap. What is that?
12! Is that you tapping your feet?
The king asks, scowling at the youngest princess at the table. She looks to be about my age. The tapping sound stops.
Sorry, father,
12 says. So I guess 1 is the oldest and 12 is the youngest, and in between are princesses 2 through 11. I can't believe it.
No tap dancing, the king says. You know my rule. 7. What is my rule?
A girl sitting in the middle of the table answers,
the only kind of dance that's allowed in Dews is ballet.
Only ballet? They're not allowed to do any other kind of dance? Jonah nudges me. I know what he's thinking. First of all, It's absolutely bonkers that the princesses are named numbers. And second, Jonah and I sometimes think our parents can be strict, but it's nothing compared to this king.
Two?
The king asks, turning to the second oldest princess.
Yes, father?
She answers, daintily setting down her fork. Is he going to tell her that she's not sitting up straight enough?
Tell me where you and your sisters go every night, he says.
Oh. Two doesn't answer. Neither do any of the other princesses. They just eat their breakfast in silence. The king sighs.
Okay, then. Bring in the prince, he calls out. Let's see what he knows.
Jonah and I exchange a worried glance. The prince is not going to know anything. A maid rushes out and returns with the young man we saw sleeping in the hall. He's wide awake now, but his fancy blazer is rumpled and his dark hair is a bit disheveled.
I present Prince Jean of Wexley, the maid says, then steps back.
The prince looks nervous. His hands are shaking. His dark eyes are darting around.
Your report, prince,
the king says.
Well, the thing is, Prince Jean begins.
The king frowns. Uh-oh. I glance over at the princesses. Princess One has the slightest bit of a smile on her face. Prince Jean clears his throat.
I did not see where the princesses went last night. It must be because they did not go anywhere and were in their beds all evening.
The king lifts his chin.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12,
he calls out.
Yes, father?
The princesses all say at the same time.
Stick out your shoes so I can see them,
he orders. The girls turn in their chairs and stick out their feet. Their shoes are even more scuffed than I realized. The heels are worn down to nubs. The king glares at the prince.
Obviously they went somewhere, he barks. They did something that ruined their shoes again.
The princesses stare straight ahead, all without any expression.
Five!
The king snaps.
Where did you and your sisters go last night that caused your shoes to scuff this way?
Princess Five turns to him.
We didn't go anywhere, father.
The king scowls.
Well, Prince Jean, last night was your first attempt at finding out the mystery of the scuffed shoes. You have two more nights.
The prince looks scared, but he nods.
Yes, King LePere, I will not let you down. Two other princes before you have tried and failed,
the king says snidely.
What makes you think you will be successful? Because I am Prince Jean of Wexley, that's why,
the prince says, puffing out his chest.
Wexleyans do not fail!
I see a few of the girls smirk. I get it. But come on, princesses. It's off with this guy's head if he fails. And the sisters know it. How can they be smirky about this? The poor prince. I mean, he has a job to do. Just like Jonah and I have a job to do, to get that crown ruby. Although, we're going to get that ruby, and he's going to fail. We know he's going to fail, unless we help him.
Really, father? Two says. We didn't leave our room.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, Jonah whispers.
The king sighs.
I will once again order the royal cobblers to make all of you new shoes this morning.
OMG! New shoes every single day? Penny would love it here. The king points at the prince.
And I would advise you to spend the day working on your eye muscles, Prince Jean,
he says.
My eye muscles?
The prince repeats. He looks confused.
Yes, the king shouts, because tonight you need to keep those eyes open and watching. If you can tell me what the princesses do to scuff their shoes, you can choose one of my lovely daughters as your bride, and you will become heir to the throne. Do you see that crown in the display?
He motions to the crown, our crown.
Yes, the prince says. We call it the Ruby Crown, and as heir to the throne, you can wear it immediately.
I nudge Jonah. He nudges me back. The Ruby Crown. The Crown Ruby. Prince Jean puffs out his chest again.
Will do, Your Royal Majesty. Two more tries,
the king says, holding up two fingers.
2 days from now, right after the princess's ballet recital at 4 p.m. is your deadline. Get it? Deadline?
The prince swallows hard.
Yes, King Lapeer,
he says, giving him a salute. Yikes.
And you must bring me proof,
the king adds.
Proof of where the princesses have been going every night. After the ballet recital, we will gather here in the dining room. You will make your announcement, show your proof, and you can be engaged to a princess to be wed on her 21st birthday. You can wear the ruby crown as my gift and promise that you shall someday be King of Dews.
Got it, King Lapeer, the prince says.
If the ballet recital is 2 days from now at 4 o'clock p.m., that means the prince's announcement will be due around 5 o'clock p.m. That will be about 6:45 a.m. Smithville time, just in time for us to be going home. I think about what to do. We need the ruby. But we can't let the prince get his head chopped off. That's just wrong. King Lapeer finishes his breakfast and leaves the room, the maids trailing him. The princesses line up in order of age and exit the room after him. Only Prince Jean stays behind, standing there awkwardly. He's using his fingers to stretch his eyes up and down. Now he's making them wide and then squinting. Oh, brother. Is he doing eye exercises to help keep them open tonight? Prince Jean doesn't seem very smart. He's not going to be much help to himself. So how are we going to save him? And Mary Rose?
Abby, Jonah whispers. Shh, I'm trying to think. But I have an idea.
You do? What?
Well, last night, Prince Jean fell asleep because he drank whatever was in the wine that was put on his table,
Jonah says. Just like in the story, right?
Right, I confirm. So, let's tell him not to drink the wine. We'll tell him to pretend to be asleep and then follow the princesses.
I stare at my kid brother. That's not bad. Jonah's little chest puffs out even more than the prince's did earlier.
He'll see where they go, Jonah says, what they do, and he'll find some proof to bring back to show the king.
Which means Prince Jean will win the contest. He'll get engaged to a princess. He'll get the ruby crown.
One problem, though, I say.
Ugh, I hate problems,
Jonah responds. Prince Jean will get the crown, with the ruby that we need on it. Why would he give the ruby to us? Jonah bites his lip.
Unless, I say, we tell him we know how he can win the contest, and in exchange for the information, he has to promise to give us the ruby from the crown.
Jonah's face lights up.
Yeah!
I give Jonah a quiet high five. Then I leap out from behind the curtain. Jonah jumps out, too.
Ah!
Prince Jean cries, stepping back.
Where did you two come from?
Sorry to scare you, I say. I'm Abby, and this is my brother Jonah. We're here to help you.
Thank you,
the prince says.
With what?
We know how you can find out where the princesses go every night, I tell him. The prince smiles.
Great!
It is, I say. But if you want to win the contest, you'll have to give us something in exchange.
Ah, he says, a deal. What do you want?
The crown ruby, I say.
The ruby?
He repeats.
Sure, I'll give you the ruby as a trade for helping me win the contest. If you want to know the truth, I didn't even want to enter, he admits. My parents are making me. Dues is much richer than our kingdom, so my parents said I had to give it a shot. Even though you'll, die if you fail?
Jonah asks. The prince pales.
Yeah, I guess they're hoping I'm gonna win.
Eep.
But the trade sounds fair to me, the prince adds. If I win, I'll get the entire kingdom. I don't need the ruby, too.
Jonah pumps his fist in the air. Yes! Promise? I ask the prince. He crosses his heart.
Promise.
You should know that we have fairy magic on our side, and if you double-cross us, I shake my head. It's not good for you.
I would never! I am a man of my word.
I hope he's telling the truth. Okay, so here's the thing. There was a cup on the table you were sitting at last night, right? I ask.
Yes, the prince answers, full of a sweet, delicious wine.
That made you very sleepy, I point out. He tilts his head.
Now that you mention it, yes. I fell asleep right after I drank it.
I wait for him to put two and two together. He doesn't. Prince Jean, do not drink the wine tonight, I tell him. That way you won't fall asleep. He gasps and snaps his fingers.
I get it now! I will not drink the wine.
I breathe a sigh of relief.
You should pretend to fall asleep, though, Jonah tells him.
Prince Jean scrunches his forehead.
Why?
Because, Jonah says, then you'll put on your invisibility cloak and follow the princesses.
I have an invisibility cloak,
the prince asks, brightening.
Rock on!
Oh, wait. We forgot about the invisibility cloak part, I say. Crumbs.
So I don't have one? Asks the prince.
No, I say. Crumbs, crumbs, crumbs. At least not that I know of.
So I should pretend to be invisible? He asks.
He closes his eyes, puts out his arms zombie-like, and walks around the room. Yowza. This guy. Not the smartest prince I've ever encountered. Sweet, though. I turn to my brother. Small snag in the plan.
Where did the soldier in the story get the cloak from again?
Jonah asks.
Ouch!
Cries the prince. He rubs his legs. He's bumped into the table. Are you okay? I ask.
Being invisible is harder than it looks, he says. You're not invisible just because your eyes are closed, Jonah says. You were invisible when my eyes were closed, the prince tells him.
Jonah and I look back at each other. Anyway, I say, an old woman gave him the cloak.
An old woman with magical powers. Was it a fairy?
Jonah asks.
Oh, wait.
Minerta, I exclaim. I bet it's her. Mary Rose said someone named Minerta would help us if we needed it.
Perfect, Jonah says. But how do we find her? We don't have a fairy bat signal or anything.
I guess we have to go looking for her, I say.
Should I come with you? Prince Jean asks.
Why don't we go and you stay here? I say. I'm worried he might slow us down.
Just don't tell anyone about our plan, okay? Roger that,
he says, saluting. We'll be back with the cloak as soon as possible, I tell him.
I'm going to keep practicing being invisible.
the prince says, then turns to leave the room. "Don't get hurt," I call after him.
"Maybe we should eat something before we go," Jonah says, eyeing the leftover platters of food. "You know, for strength."
"Good idea," I say, reaching for a donut. Jonah stuffs a whole donut in his mouth.
Strawberry filling.
I'm about to tell him not to talk with his mouth full when someone walks into the room. And it's not Prince Jean. It's one of the princesses.